Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. And welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 250, recorded on Tuesday, January 26th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah, I was telepathically sending you a message, Josh, to say, just go to the wide. The wide's the easier one to go to. Don't do the singles dance. And you did great. By the way, Josh Windisch, a.k.a. Mac and Josh, is joining us today.
That's right. Hello, everybody.
My nemesis is back.
My nemesis. The Mac and Josh.
You thought things with Brian were rough. Josh and I's relationship is a little rough. So, I'll do my best to stay professional. So.
yeah. Correct yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
No, I love Josh. Josh is one of us now, isn't he?
One of us.
He kind of was. Okay, so his Twitter ID is Mac and Josh, which makes you... come to the actually, logical...
It's the Mac and Josh.
We just had this discussion before the show. He abandoned the Nexus 6P after
I'm sorry.
And last time I was in the studio, he showed me his 6P and we talked about it. I thought we had you.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that I have learned in working with Josh over the years, it is that he is quite possibly the most indecisive person I've ever met. So... I don't think this is over. I think it's very possible he could come back to Android in like 2 days. You never know.
Careful, he is controlling the camera angles on this whole thing. True. You don't want him to be indecisive about
it. It is possible. Lights on.
Oh, no!
It is possible. When I have to actually get a new phone, when it's time for me to actually get a new phone, well, we'll see, maybe.
Okay.
I was surprised at how like close the two are like as far as usability for me, so
yeah.
When we talked about the 6P, we both shared some of the same complaints, so I understand where you're coming from. So
yeah.
What, that it's too amazing?
No. The power button is slightly too loose.
No.
It just push it a little too easily, and it I don't know.
Also, those buttons are all in the wrong places. Too.
That too. I can't mount it in my car very well.
Just go to Mountain View and pick it then.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about this.
It's okay. Calm down, everybody. It's not the end of the world. He's just one user.
You're right. He's just one person.
You're right. Who happens to have the entire fate of this show in his hands
now.
So, Josh,
you're
awesome.
He's like God
now. We've got a lot to talk about this week. We'll be discussing Android's billions in revenue, this according to Oracle. Amazon's broader hardware intentions. We have an interview with the folks behind New Mobile. What actually happened? Okay, we can finally check in and see what actually happened to Chris Lacey's link bubble. We know now, and what we found may surprise you, and so much more. But I hope that the Mac and Josh is ready, because it's time to get to some news.
Apple reported its earnings today, but no one on this show will care about that. It's time for news.
That was good.
Sorry, that was really good.
At the beginning, I was awesome. Like, of course he like does an Apple news.
No, that
thing,
was awesome. And it's true. Nobody does care on this show.
But we're talking about it.
But you know what people do care about, and that I noticed is totally missing from
what?
The queue today?
What?
Rumors, man. Rumors and all the new flagships.
Oh,
are you talking about some rumors of the new flagships, though?
I am talking about some rumors of the new flagships, particularly Galaxy S7 and the HTC One M10. And did you hear, Ron, that LG is going to have not one, but two flagship phones this year? Two!
Tell me, Flo, what do you think of rumors?
I personally don't like them.
Oh, well, see, there you go. That's why they aren't in the show.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't like rumors either.
This is...
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Here's my take on rumors.
Yes,
all right?
Let's go.
We're talking about it.
Let's do it.
I feel like rumors are fair game for the show if there isn't actual news to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, if we have other stories that are, like, confirmed and stuff, then the rumors end up getting the boot.
The reason,
we've got a lot of good stuff this week. That's why they are.
No, you're right. The reason I bring it up is because of all the news that we have, it just feels like Twitter has been nothing but awash with, like, this is what the new Samsung phone looks like.
This time of every single year is this.
And it's so, like, for me as a person who's going out and covering these things, it's just like, come on, guys. Just give me a couple more weeks of just, like, being able to just not care.
Yeah, because it's almost threatening from your perspective.
Exactly, because it's like, hey, Flo, haven't you heard about this thing? Why haven't you written about it?
You're going to be spending, like 500 gazillion hours with these things once they finally release.
It only takes so much.
Yeah, but, I understand.
But I appreciate everybody's enthusiasm because I am also excited.
I'm excited.
For the future.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future.
So, you know. So wait, let me get this straight. So your job is to write about these phones, to try them, to have opinions of them, and you're complaining about that?
No, I'm not complaining.
Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. You're complaining about BART. I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly what I complain about all the time: public transportation in the Bay Area and how poor our infrastructure is.
Don't worry, Flo. In a couple of weeks, you're going to know all about those devices steal 500 gazillion hours of your time.
I appreciate everybody's enthusiasm. It's just for me, it's a little daunting because it's like, oh my god, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be like not sleeping and going from press conference to press conference.
I'm sorry. Do you get to go to Europe?
You're right, Ron. I do.
I mean, I understand it's really hard. It's really hard to do that, but
are you guys done?
Are we done, Ron?
I say it with love and affection.
I do have an awesome job.
See, there we go. There's the admission. All right. Just now saying, let's talk about
be thankful.
News, not rumors. This is like borderline, actually, but I guess it's news because it made it into a court proceeding. Google has reportedly brought in revenue to the sum of $31 billion with $22 billion in profit, according to one of Oracle's lawyers in its patent case against Google. Google claims the information was part of confidential internal financial documents and should not have been released. And that is further kind of, I don't know what the word is, but basically the transcript that revealed that information has been pulled. So I think it's proven from that act. What do you guys think of the number, first of all? Is that
that was insane, by the way, when I saw that leak last week. I think it was last week, right?
Yeah. It was the end of last week. Yeah, it was the end of last week.
But I mean.
Oh. Well, it's a lot of money, but it is a lot of money for how many years Google's had. And on one hand, it's billions of dollars, and billions
which
is
a
large
lot
number.
To everyone.
But
here.
On the other hand, like, then you hear stuff like Apple's billions in a quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I totally realize that it's apples to oranges. And also that Google got Android for a song for $50 million. So that's a great return on investment. But I don't know. Part of me just feels like it should be more than that. What do you think, Ron?
So, I mean, I didn't read the court document.
Ron never does. Ron never reads the stories.
I'm not a lawyer. But I'm just saying is that it brought in the sum of $31 billion. You know, like, where is that revenue being generated from? Is that from OEM contracts? Is that from licensing deals? You know,
yeah,
like
various.
Yeah. You know, like, we don't know where the source of all this revenue might be. And unless we know that, we'll never know that. It's hard to tell exactly where it's coming from. So
yeah, there is a lot of missing information here, and not a whole lot that you can check beyond that. But it's an interesting number. It gives you some sort of a sense, you know, kind of like a ballpark at least. Whereas before, we really didn't know anything. So I guess it's something.
That's true.
Yeah.
At least now we know.
And knowing's half
the battle, a lot of money,
as they say. They say that sometimes. Ron, what's up?
I'll tell you what's up. Not Google Glass. I feel like every couple of weeks we're covering Google Glass.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like I've heard that transition a couple times already.
I literally saw this story and I'm like, am I on the right date? I'm like, I'm on the right thing. But anyway, so Google Glass, while it's not dead, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, it's got a new life in enterprise pursuit, you know, like with enterprise applications. But actually currently the social media accounts for the old Google Glass, you know, kind of Explorer program, have all went dark.
Oh.
Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, all Google Glass have all been shut down, which, you know, safe to say pretty much seals the coffin for the consumer version of Google Glass.
Oh.
Although you never know. You never know what happens. But they closed up shop. They closed their Twitter. They closed their Instagram. They closed their Jeez. Google Plus. They're moving on. So,
bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
But why do they have to close it, though? I don't know.
But the thing is, is it better to have a dark and dormant and non-active account that just reminds everybody of how bad it is?
Or
just,
it's like a shrine of what could have been.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of sad to see the story done. But then when I try and use my Google Glass, it doesn't work anymore. So there's that. Just a little hurt. Over the fact that
you can't complain at them on Twitter now because they're gone.
Yeah, I can't tag them. I can hashtag them.
Maybe
though.
They were getting sick of it. They were like, we're really sick of people bothering us about how badly they want Glass. Yes. We get it. You want a new one? It's not happening. So we're leaving.
You're
going
to do that?
We're moving
out
of town.
Canceled. All right, fine. We'll probably stop talking about Google Glass until the next time they pronounce it dead. How about that?
Or until we see an actual product from this enterprise solution, or we see some sort of application. I mean, I think like we all know Google Glass is not dead. It's going to be Google Glass 2.0, whatever that incarnation is. And I'm curious to see what they do with it. So.
Yeah. Enterprise edition. Yeah. Now, what about Amazon Flow?
Oh, my goodness. So you guys remember the Fire Phone?
I remember that.
I think we're going to have a little bit of repeat history here, except not with the Fire Phone, but with somebody else, some other manufacturer. Amazon is in talks with OEMs to try to bring its flavor of Android to devices outside of its own creation, according to sources at The Information. Amazon is looking for deep integration of its services into the new hardware so it has bigger reach into the back end of Android. So what we're basically looking at here is kind of what it already does with its Kindle tablets, which is using all of its Amazon or Android APIs that it already owns, and just using those instead of Google's. That's the way I understood it, and I couldn't read the article because I don't have a subscription, but.
Well, it seems like, you know, Amazon's going to try and work out these deals with other OEMs. The problem that they're going to run into is that, you know, the Google Mobile, they should call it Goble, the Google Mobile services, the GMS services.
Right, right.
Basically, if you are an OEM and you have that essentially means that your devices can run all of Google's kind of, you know, officially, you know, release products like Maps and have all the Google Play services happening
all
underneath.
The good stuff.
But if you agree to that, you can't release any devices in your, you know, in your day-to-day operation that doesn't include that stuff. And the Amazon devices would fall under that category. So it's kind of a nuclear option for some OEMs if they were to do that. So I don't know who they'd work with in order to make that happen. It would have to be someone outside of the usual.
I was thinking about that too. I'm like wondering. I don't think it's like Samsung, somebody that
big.
No,
that would never happen. Yeah, would Samsung
I don't think
do
it's going to be
no
any.
Way.
No, because that would kill their business, quite frankly. So I'm curious about who they're looking at. And I'm wondering if they're going to try and make their own little fork the way that sort of Cyanogen and some of these other companies are coming out and trying their hand at it.
Well, I mean, their version is a fork.
Yes, it's an absolute fork, yes.
But
I'm wondering if they want to compete with companies like Cyanogen in that sort of like niche, you know, third party Android space.
Sure.
But I don't think they're going to compete with Cyanogen or even for the third party. I think the continue and I always say this whenever we talk about Amazon, but the continuing business strategy for Amazon is that we have these millions of people who pay us for their yearly Prime subscription. We are going to create products for those people. And that's all Amazon cares about. As long as like I could see the MBA, the business majors spreadsheets and their bar graphs and saying, okay, we've got all these people sign up for Prime. If 25% of them buy our phone, then we'll make this amount of, you know, like it's completely a play to play to their customers and only their customers. I don't think that they're trying to convert customers by getting them to, you know, sign up for Prime and get the free shipping and get all the perks and get all the media and the TV and stuff like that. But I don't think they even care about Cyanogen. I think they're just focused on their customers.
And not creating another Fire Phone, which is...
Well, yeah. I mean,
you know,
I mean, yes.
So working with other OEMs to possibly, you know, design the hardware around that. I mean, does it say that Amazon doesn't trust their own team to come up with design if this is
Well,
true?
They have had a
They've had some issues.
Failure.
But they've had some really good successes, too. The Echo.
No, that's true.
The Echo is pretty awesome.
Yep.
That's Those nice design in-house.
Well, no, I just mean hardware in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like Amazon is totally out of the hardware design. Their ebook, the Kindles. You know, the Kindles have all been pretty well designed.
So there comes a branding question where if they failed with the Amazon Fire Phone, right, and questionable whether or not the Fire tablets are successful or not, but we know the Kindle product is a success and we know Echo is a success, do they do this under a new brand name or do we see the Amazon Echo Phone? Like, do they say, hey, that's working, let's build a brand off of that, and then it's a phone that's designed.
Dude, I think that's going to happen. The second that came out of your mouth, I'm like, that makes perfect sense because
think about it. You've got a phone that's got the Echo design touches. It's got the blue and all that sort of stuff. It's got Echo or Alexa, whatever the hell it's called, on the phone. So it's like a Siri competitor, right? And then it's got all the hooks into Amazon. It's got all the hooks into their media, into their TV and music and all that sort of stuff. That could be, you know, as long as they don't have the weird prismatic 3D effect thing, I think this could be fine. Like, instead of trying to be so different, just play to your strengths.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just thinking of Echo as like a Google Now on a phone, you know, embedded in the platform.
Yes.
That could be a pretty darn powerful, powerful thing for Amazon.
Perhaps too powerful.
Perhaps too powerful for Google now.
No.
No. Yeah, just but a good other.
Yeah,
a good other category. All right, there we go. So we've got a voicemail. This from Anonymous, chose not to say his name. I think he just kind of forgot to say his name. It's okay, I forgive you. Regarding Android lag, this is a topic that comes up every once in a while. Anonymous, what do you have to say?
Hey guys, huge fan of the show. Absolutely love it. You guys do a phenomenal job.
Oh, thanks.
I have a question or a bone to pick. I don't know which, but I would love some feedback on it. Bottom line is I was an iPhone user for a very long time, switched to Android a few years ago. I've been using Android ever since. And no matter the phone I've used, with the exception of the HTC One a couple of years ago, I have found that Android tends to be laggy. And I've never had a Nexus phone. So what I'm kind of looking for is, when I was on the iPhone, most of the lag was hidden by animations and fun little swirls and all that good stuff. But there's lag. And I'm just wondering, what's the best experience for the least amount of lag? And is the Nexus experience going to eliminate it? Keep up the great work, guys. Really love the show.
Good question.
I am afraid.
It's a common complaint, by the way.
I'm afraid to answer this because I've been having serious lag issues with the 6P lately.
Really?
Yeah, it's just been hanging a lot. I always thought, oh, well, maybe it's that way. You know, maybe a phone acts that way. Like on a Samsung phone, you have TouchWiz or some sort of overlay running on top of everything else.
Right, it's easy to blame that.
It's easy
to blame the skin or the overlay or whatever happens to be running on top and not the core OS. So then if lag is such a common experience in Android, is it safe to say that Android's to blame?
But iOS is laggy too, maybe.
I wonder if the question is the operating system to blame or is the lack of memory either in RAM or in disk space, you know, because I noticed like, so my sad little Nexus 5, which I now need to hook up to jumper cables to get it to work on a daily basis.
Has the 5.
It's still going, but.
You're me when I was on the Droid and I couldn't jump. Yes, I couldn't jump. Anyways.
Oh no, I want to jump. I wasn't paralyzed by deciding.
By choice,
like you.
Yes,
but anyway, what I've noticed is that when, like, I need to go in and clear the caches on my apps. I need to clear data off of it. Like, when I'm running out of disk space, that's when it gets super laggy. And so I think it has a lot to do with how much memory you have free, how much RAM you have on the phone. And maybe there's something inherent in the way the operating system uses that memory to cause that lag. You know, that's been in my experience.
Yeah, so. I would agree with that because every time – because we test a lot of devices.
Mm-hmm.
And all devices, almost all devices anyways, out of the box are lag-free. You know what I mean?
Of course.
You get install them from the ground up. They don't have any, you know, they're not mucked up with all of this extra storage used for things. You haven't installed all of your normal apps and everything seems fine. And new devices just kind of always feel that way. And then over time, it's like you live in them for so long.
Right.
And
bring them
in. it starts to bog down. And that's, I mean, most devices that I've ever owned eventually kind of get to that point. So I guess that's a bummer, but I don't know if there's a solution for that.
So that ties to something that I've been doing recently, which is you need to regularly look at your app drawer.
Yeah.
And see, I haven't opened that app in 3 weeks, delete it. Like, if you're not using an app, get it off your phone.
You're right.
It's just taking up space.
Or just get the next bit Robin and let it do it for you, because that's what it does. You haven't used that. You need more space. Here, we'll offload it and it won't take up space.
I was going to say, I actually saw this distinction between the Galaxy S6 and the Note 5, because the Note 5 has the same processor, but 4 gigs of RAM versus the GS6 has only 3. And, like, I know they're benchmarks, but the benchmark apps, you could see that the one with more RAM was clearly, like, it was just more polished. It felt like it was just a lot more room to run. Trying to find any sort of metaphor to explain it, but
yeah, room to run.
I'm wondering if 4 gigabyte is now going to be the standard for running Android for running any operating system.
But what I wonder is, you know, 4 gig might seem like a great solution, or more memory rather like a more solution, but a good
really
solution.
Solving.
But over time, is it like you don't really know that? And I feel like no matter what, the amount of memory we have, eventually those devices still end
That's
up
very
kind
true.
Of lagging and slowing down. So I don't know.
So to answer Anonymous's question, because we just turned this into a discussion.
No, that's good.
Nexus. Just try out the Nexus.
But does Nexus solve the problem?
No, more memory solves the problem.
Yeah. So maybe get a Note 5.
We make no qualms about the fact that we like Nexus devices and we recommend them. You know, we talk about them on
They're
the show
okay.
all the time.
Yeah.
But do they solve this particular problem?
No.
I'm not sure that they necessarily
do. It's a memory problem.
But the thing is about the Nexus is if you like to tinker, you can just go in and you can just, you know, root it and just get an app that lets you allocate your memory, like where everything is going.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to.
There you go. I hope that answered your question, Mr. Anonymous, if that is your
Leave your name next time. Let us know where you're from.
You know, I think sometimes people are just so excited to leave a voicemail. They're like, oh, I get to talk,
journey?
And they forget.
Really? That excited?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, woo! They're partying when they leave a voicemail. At least I like to think that. All right. Hey, Josh, we're going to jump into hardware. Are you ready for that? You ready? Yeah, you are. Kind of already were in hardware, I suppose.
What is Android without hardware?
It's
It is
true.
Nothing but
that works on
code.
A lot of levels. Android is nothing without its hardware. Speaking of, we have somebody joining the show here. Nick Slater is the senior marketing wizard. I wish I was a wizard of something at Noetic Inc. Also, kind of the people behind New Mobile. Nick, how's it going?
I had to choose wizard because warlock was taken.
You got to choose?
Well, I mean, they gave us a list of magical characters to choose our titles from. Wizard seemed like a non-offensive one, so I went with that. But
who's the warlock?
I mean, you have to advance past a couple initiations to get to like that level of knowledge. But I mean,
working at Noetic is like playing a game of Dungeons and Dragons, is what you're telling us.
It's a lot of fun. We got a lot of nerds, doing some cool stuff. So yeah, it's a fun place to be.
Right on. Well, it's great to have you here. First, what exactly is Noetic Inc.? I will apologize for the fact that I've heard and I played around with new mobile devices, but I'm not too familiar with Noetic Inc.
We have
and I think
here.
Oh, we have the X4.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, you're rocking
That's
an
right.
X4 too. You got that float? Awesome.
Yeah, I got it. It arrived at my desk last week, and I brought it today.
Does it have that new phone smell?
it does. It smells like Shenzhen.
The smell smells like Shenzhen.
I'm sorry.
Title. I've never been.
I haven't either, but I've walked.
I'm going to take your
Shenzhen
word for it.
Yes.
let's start right there. So, Noetic Inc. is the subsidiary, or rather, New Mobile is a subsidiary of Noetic Inc. Explain a little bit about this, what you guys do.
So basically, New Mobile is a partnership, and we've got our U.S. team, which is Noetic Inc., and then we've got our Hong Kong team, which is SunCupid. So together, we form this kind of Megatron-type figure of New Mobile. yeah, so that's like the most user-friendly analogy I could think of.
Yeah.
Does that help?
That works. I really like that we're racking up all sorts of characters already in this interview.
Some battery.
So let's see here. So new definitely competes in kind of this emerging area right now in Android that for the last couple of years where mm-hmm. it's kind of like high-performing devices, lower-cost devices, becoming kind of a crowded market. Would you agree?
It's becoming a super crowded market. So like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with OpenSignal. They're an app that gauges, they gauge signals. They've been doing these kind of like annual fragmentation reports on Android. When we started back in 2012, there were about right around 300 Android manufacturers. Today there's almost 1300. So it's like 1,000 more people joining the game in just a couple of years. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a crowded field.
So it's crowded, and you guys are based, so is New Mobile based in the States? I had a hard time determining if it's Hong Kong, I think that's the parent company though, right? And the New.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically they handle the manufacturing side of things because we're an OEM. So we have our own dedicated factories, like you said, Flo, in lovely Shenzhen, China, with its twinkling air quality. We don't contribute to that at all. So we've got our headquarters in Hong Kong and then headquarters here in Minneapolis.
So it's a crowded market though. And I guess my main question for you is how you stand out from the crowd, because there are just so many devices now kind of fighting for attention. I feel like a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, it was novel to see a brand new, never heard of them manufacturer come out with a high quality phone and go, wow, like that's the level of quality that we're used to seeing from the companies that we're used to talking about. And now suddenly here's this company that I've never heard of also producing at that quality. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing this a lot more. How does New Mobile stand out in such a crowded kind of environment as that?
It's a really good question. Really good question, Jason. When you're dealing with a marketplace this crowded, trying to stand out on specs is impossible, because there's always going to be someone who's got a little bit more RAM, who's got a little bit faster processor. It's also pretty hard to stand out on price, because there's always someone who can do it for cheaper. They can undercut you by $50. Might be a totally piece of junk phone, but I mean, it's $30 at Walmart. I mean, who's going to say no to that? So basically, where we're trying to carve out our own little niche, and this is going to sound totally radical and kind of out there, is by being nice people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a totally nuts strategy, man. But
that's awesome. Okay, how do you communicate that to the consumer?
Because
that's a hard message to convey. I mean, is that done through marketing? Is that done through experience?
Man, you're just like racking up the awesome questions today. Communicating that is a tricky thing, because people have really, really finely tuned BS detectors now. You can do something that seems like, like fun, quirky branding marketing, and it is just insincere. So what we're doing is talking face-to-face and Twitter account to Twitter account, Google Plus thing to Google Plus thing. And what we're finding is, like, you get this snowball rolling a little bit. It's like we've been talking to a bunch of different reviewers, and by talking to the reviewers and trying to learn what they want, what their readers want, we're able to tailor phones to that. We're able to answer their questions in a way that gives them the information they need, and not just a kind of a corporate runaround type thing. And so it creates this sort of like constant feedback loop of people talking to us, us talking back to the people, and it kind of works out where everyone gets what they want, more or less.
Kind of improving the customer kind of engagement / satisfaction side of things, which is definitely missing with certain manufacturers and OEMs for sure. Flo, did you have some?
Yes. So I just got this thing all started up, and I wanted to ask you, Nick, about software. Like, what can you tell me about what you guys are doing with Android that sort of differentiates from the other, what other OEMs are doing? Like, what can you guys offer besides, hey, we'll tweet you if you have a problem?
Totally. So one of the big things for us has been GMS certification. Our new models, the X4, the N4L, the N5L, they're coming out a little bit later. These are all GMS certified, which means that they're getting these monthly Android security patches, which I'm sure you guys remember after Stage Fright.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that became a substantial issue. just putting it really diplomatically. A big thing for us being a lower cost manufacturer, you know, we're a small OEM. We fit the profile of a company that's expected to like skirt underneath these GMS certification processes, which leaves the end user with a totally unstable, unupdatable phone. Having our Google Mobile Services certification is a big thing. Another thing that appeals to, you know, people who like Android, we run stock. So no EMUIs, no weird, a lot of the Chinese manufacturers like to get in some fancy skins on there. We just leave it clean for you to do what you want.
Do you hear from the customer base that are buying your devices that stock Android is important to them?
Yeah, because what we found is that a lot of people are used to dealing with a lot of bloatware on their phones. I mean, if you've ever had Verizon, you get the Verizon Messenger.
Oh, honey, I can tell you all about that story. Verizon.
So you know what I'm talking about then. Like, you get a 16 gig phone, and when you open it, you've got 8 gigs to play with. So running stock has been a big thing for us.
Now, you're talking about about carriers and stuff like that.
Phone
is now on.
It
wants us to know it's on.
Yeah. You're getting a security update right now.
What about your ambitions for carriers, kind of working with carriers, at least here in the U.S.? Because you guys are kind of doing business right now in North and South America at the moment. I'm sure you have plans to expand beyond that. But do you have ambitions for kind of breaking into the carrier space more than you are now?
Well, right now we're international. We've got a couple offices in Asia, Jakarta, Hong Kong, Tokyo, a couple in Europe. We just opened one in London, in Amsterdam. In the U.S. market, we came in unlocked. And unlocked is, we think, going to be a growing segment as people move away from this kind of carrier subsidized model where you end up paying, a couple grand, say over the course of a phone's life, maybe. We'll keep our options open, but for right now, we really like appealing to this sort of free spirit, of unlocked people.
Sure.
So I have to ask, I noticed this phone is running 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
When are you guys doing the whole marshmallow thing?
Well, okay. So when you ask that to an OEM, I feel like there's never a good answer, because the OEM promises a date and then you sort of take it with a grain of salt, or maybe 100 grains of salt, because these things get just promised all the time and sometimes don't get delivered. We do have plans. In April, we're going to be rolling out X4s that are running Marshmallow. I knew that one was coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, updates is always right at the top of people's lists, especially considering now that, Google's doing the security updates once a month. Does that put even more pressure on OEMs like yourself to turn these things around? And can you even possibly keep up with that kind of a schedule?
Yeah. Yeah. So it puts pressure on us, in the sense that it's another hoop to jump through.
Sure.
There's quite a lot of regulatory agencies with their fingers in their respective pies. It has been something that we've been able to do. I mean, we've proved it. So is it more challenging for us than a company like Samsung that can throw basically unlimited resources at it? Totally. It's definitely more challenging for us. But if you want to make a good product, you got to do it. So, you can either cut the corners and make the same junk as, and maybe some other guys, or you can try to do it right. And that's the route we're trying to take.
Right on. Well, it's cool looking hardware here. I want to I want to pot this for a second and see what it's all about. What was the phone? I played with a phone middle of last year, and I want to say the button order was a little different than it is right here. So I'm happy to see the button order.
We got it right after the last time, man. I remember in your Z8 unboxing, you're like, man, they got these buttons the wrong way.
That's awesome. You know, I'm programmed, you know, after using so many devices, I'm programmed to see them in a certain way. And anytime I see them in an opposite way, it's just like my fingers don't work in that configuration anymore. So that's good. No, but the hardware feels nice. This is pretty solid. This is the X4. This was announced at CES this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is the cost on this?
This is $169.
$169,
everyone.
Uber low budget.
$169.99.
Wow, that's a solid price. And what do you get for $169.99?
Yeah.
For $169, you wanted me to get into the specs now.
Well, right. I mean, just a little bit of the kind of marquee
processor.
All right,
so the big ones that you want, so 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs internal storage, running a MediaTek 1.3 gigahertz processor, I want to say.
And he's gone. We can take a look at it right now. I'm sure we'll get him back. This is awesome. I'm continually fascinated by this whole marketplace and just the fact that somebody can kind of come out of nowhere and launch, you know, I guess seemingly coming out of nowhere, launch a hardware company that can kind of put out these high quality devices for $169.99. That's pretty crazy, right there. And a low cost OEM that is kind of doing the stock Android thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to building up the software. Hey, we got you back. Okay. So hold on, you were gone. It disconnected, and now we are reconnected with you. So we can hear you. We can't see you. So just beforehand, because I'm not sure if you can even hear us at this point. Can you hear us, Nick?
We're back.
We're back. Okay, so pick up where we left off.
All right. Thanks a lot, technical difficulties.
That's okay.
All right. So anyways, let's see. 1.3 MediaTek gigahertz processor. Again, it's running stock Android.
Yeah.
One of the common characteristics of all of our new phones, they're dual SIM. Dual LTE SIM in this case. We got removable batteries, expandable memory. You can stick a 32 gig micro SD card in there, get some extra storage. And I think that runs through the big ones. 5-inch HD screen. I think that completes our rundown.
Right on.
It seems like it's got the price and it's got a lot of the features that people want. What has the reaction been? I mean, how are sales looking? I mean, do you feel as if you're getting traction in the marketplace or?
Oh, definitely. So CES was pretty big for us. We got on CNET's list of smartphones that matter at CES, which is nice for, you know, a new company like us. One of the biggest parts, that helped us was getting to meet people face to face. Flo, I was totally bummed, man. We had the booth set up for you, like red carpet rolled out, squishy balls just bouncing back and forth, swag bags flying.
Boy, this is awkward.
I mean, granted, you were probably receiving way cooler swag from somewhere else, but it was really nice to get a chance to have people stop by the booth. And see us in action, because again, like telling you, over the phone or over TV, mm-hmm. that we are genuine is one thing. Actually showing it through firsthand experience is totally different.
So you guys are trying a holistic approach to this whole smartphone thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's unusual, but you got to take risks sometimes.
Nick, real quick, hit the video send button because we're not getting your video.
We
got your audio. We hear you, but we're not seeing your video. Now we're seeing it. I wanted to get you back.
It's back.
I wanted to get you back. Just to basically say, Nick, it's really it's interesting to see what you guys are doing at NU, and I appreciate you coming on to the show to kind of talk to us a little bit about kind of your ambitions in the space, and we're definitely watching.
Yeah.
And excited to see kind of the traction that you can get throughout this next year.
Thanks a lot, Jason. It was real cool speaking with you guys, and thanks for having us on, because this it means a lot to us. So thank you.
Absolutely. So, Nick, do you have your own Twitter account on Twitter, or is it just the new mobile?
It's at new mobile.
All right. At new mobile.
With
that's
two
with
U's.
Two U's. N-U-U.
With two U's. Yep.
All right. Right on.
Make your own puns.
Thanks so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. You have a good one.
All right. Bye, you too, sir. All right.
I like that it's new mobile, like new metal.
Yeah, it's kind of new metal.
Hey,
I mean, some of the phones might be made.
Don't start on new metal.
Oh.
I'm all about new metal. It's all good.
Wow. Are you a fan or not a fan?
I was obsessed.
Oh, you're obsessed. Okay, now I get it.
This was a long time ago.
Hey, before we continue on, we have
one little silly thing that I brought that I thought would be fun.
You have a crazy case.
I'm really bummed Ron isn't here for this because.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So this is actually advertised by the Kardashians on their show.
Third time you brought up the Kardashians on the network.
I know. I don't know how I still have a job here. So it's called the Lumi case.
Uh-huh.
It's a case for taking selfies. And so when you watch the Kardashians, which I don't, Kris Jenner
hang on. I think
phone.
We've got some breaking news to cut into, Jason. I think we've got something else to talk about. Anything.
No, this is really great. Okay,
let me
listen.
See tech meme.
Lumi case. There's not a lot of them for Android, and they, you know, they were like, "Hey, do you want to check out the Lumi case?" And I was like, "Yes, absolutely," but I don't have an iPhone. Which is, you know, like the Kardashians. And so they sent me the one for the Galaxy S6. So this is a Galaxy S6 Edge. So what I did is I wanted to use this case so bad that I put another case on top of it and then, like, smushed it in here so that it would fit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, you did.
Because I wanted to use it so badly.
It's like Franken case. Frankenstein case.
Yeah, because, like, okay, but look how amazing these selfies are. All right.
Okay, should we, okay. Do we
wait, I'm
lights?
Sorry, I'm sorry, the sentence she just said, look how amazing these selfies are.
You know what, Ron?
You just wish you were
my
here.
My friends are going to be old and wrinkly someday, and the only thing we'll have of each other is well-lit selfies.
A lot of selfies. Josh, can you take down the lights just a little bit so that we can see how well this
illuminates? Yeah, because
the
spotlights
illuminates.
Are going to make us have a good selfie anyway. So.
Yeah, because these studio lights are just too
okay.
big. Okay, I'll do the thing you normally do in selfies, and you go...
So, okay, wait, let's do two shots real quick. All right, so here's one. We have beauty mode on right now.
Oh.
So here's one.
Okay.
All right, now we're going to turn on the case. Look how bright
Jesus.
That is.
It's like a ring light.
All right.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
That's good.
You can bring up the lights. Now we can see over here, over my shoulder. So,
we are.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. Maybe you should have focused.
All right, so.
Okay,
geez,
so that's
man.
Before.
So this is before.
Uh-huh.
This is after.
Illuminated.
Now, notice that my nose is slightly missing, and that's a good thing.
Is it?
Because my nose looks better with this light on.
Okay.
You can't tell. But
okay,
it looks
so
better.
It does illuminate a little bit. Sure. Okay.
It just lights neither, you. It lights you like you're in front of a makeup mirror.
Neither one of us did duck lips for the,
oh, yeah,
for the selfie.
I'm not a duck lip person.
Well, neither am I. I'm just saying we're doing selfies. Isn't that what people do?
Sometimes you get a... Take it seriously.
Okay.
I've never wanted to hear that Korean breaking news bumper more than right now.
Josh, we have some breaking news. Okay, that works.
Hey, that's probably the wrong one.
It's the wrong, yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Brian has these all out of whack.
Yeah,
on here.
Brian's weird
it's all
about
Brian's
how,
fault.
How he fills out the TriCaster. It doesn't matter. That was just a segue.
Listen,
I appreciate that you like the selfie light thingy.
The crux of this whole thing is that iPhone users get all this cool stuff.
Yeah, that's okay.
And when
cool
we
stuff.
Get it, I get really excited about it because I want to be a little bit a part of pop culture too.
Fair
just
enough.
A tiny bit.
Fair enough. All right, so I imagine those are probably hitting the internet at some point here pretty soon. In the meantime, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. And yeah, that is automatic. See, automatic right here. It's this tiny little thing in there. So chances are your car hasn't kept up with technology entirely. That's kind of where automatic comes in. It's this small adapter that you see right here, turns any car into a connected car. And you just kind of plug the automatic into the same port in your car that a mechanic uses to diagnose engine problems, And it really just kind of opens up a whole world of possibilities. It lets you keep track of your fuel mileage, vehicle health, expense business trips, all with a tap. And you can link your car to the connected devices that power your life. So, you know, what's that check engine light that's coming on? What does that actually mean? Automatic tells you before you have to go to the shop. Automatic can also integrate with your Nest thermostat to know when you're home, and it can even provide the answer to one of life's most common questions: where on earth did I park my car? It kind of does that automatically for you. I've had automatic in my car for months now. I've gotten used to these tones that it sets off when you're driving poorly, basically. Maybe you need to slow down, or maybe not accelerate as fast as you have. It'll tell you kind of like when you're coming to too fast of a stop. So maybe you're braking too hard, maybe you're accelerating too fast, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, that's an inefficient use of the gas that you have in your car. So it's good to know that. It works on nearly every car that's made after 1996, takes minutes to install. Literally, you just kind of pull off the cover, plug it in, connect it to your iPhone or your Android device over Bluetooth, and you'll get real-time performance data streamed to your device while you drive. Uses intelligent coaching to kind of maximize your fuel economy and all that kind of stuff, and just make you a better driver, essentially. It integrates, like I said, with Nest, with your mechanic, FreshBooks, all sorts of platforms in crazy ways, so you can get really creative with it. And it works with IFTTT, if this then that, for even more possibilities, so you can integrate your car into your digital life in cool ways. It also supports the Apple Watch, supports Pebble, and it's all about support and just integrating into all the things you already have. No monthly fees or subscriptions are required, and Automatic never sells your data. So Automatic is normally $99.95. When you use our special offer code TWIT, TWIT, that's TWIT, you'll save 20%. Go to automatic.com/TWIT for more information and to purchase, and use the offer code TWIT to save 20% off the regular purchase price. That's automatic.com/TWIT. We thank them for their support. All right. It's time for some app news. Let's do it.
All right. Well, it's just in time for the blizzard on the East Coast and for it to stop raining here in California.
No, we still need the rain.
Need the rain, but it stopped raining. It rained last week.
Oh, just in time for it to stop. Yes.
Yeah, just it stopped.
It'll rain.
But anyway.
I misunderstood you.
It's okay. This is a slow news week story, isn't it? Google's weather forecast feature in Google Now got a very nice little redesign going on there that makes it look and function like a standalone app. Now they've got colorful graphics, animation, charts, and a full feature set replaced the simple weather card in Google Now that came before it. So if you felt as if you had a hole in your life where colorful weather news was missing, Google has now fulfilled that. What's interesting, though, is that it all exists within Google Now. So it's like an app inside of an app, kind of.
Yes.
But it's a little more well-designed, fleshed-out, card-based functionality, which is really fascinating. And I wonder if this is a hint of what's to come.
Exactly. That's why this is not a slow news week.
And that's why Google actually made a really big deal about this.
Right, because it's teasing what they're going to do with the future now. Yeah.
If there's a blog post, it's a big deal. That's the way I think about it.
I think it's cool looking. It integrates pretty nicely.
It's pretty. It's so much prettier. And this is part of the reason I love using Google Now is the cards. Yeah. I mean, I know this is ridiculous, but when I'm bored, I just swipe over to that part and I'm like, I might as well see what the weather is like the rest of the week. And it's kind of nice to have this, dynamic.
I think I'm realizing as I'm using it. So what's happening here is that the card is pretty much the same. Tapping it takes you to Google's new version of weather. And I bet you anything, if I go to my search in my browser and I go weather, I wonder if it's going to give me the same interface in the browser. Oh, no, it doesn't. So maybe mobile browser. But anyways, you can see it's doing a search up there for weather, and that's what you're seeing. So it's kind of like an app in Google Now, but it's really... Now that I'm looking at it, it's like,
but it's in the browser though. Yeah. So the card is in Google now, but it's taking you to a browser.
But it's
which
taking
is
you to Google. See, like there's yeah. only yeah. So it's a mixture of both, really. Yeah. But it's awesome. I mean, I love that, you know, this is further kind of illustration of Google's intentions to kind of blur the lines between what an app is and what a web service is and all that kind of stuff. And it's well designed. If you care about that little frog, which you probably will, you'll start caring about that little frog.
I want to know why there's like fired things behind him.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Like, is he safe? Should we go in and try and rescue him? Is there a way we could like shrink ourselves and go into the motif?
Maybe in VR. Soon they'll integrate it. Soon cardboard. They'll be like,
then you just tap on the frog, and then you could just put on your cardboard and
that's totally their
jump
ambition.
Into the weather card. Mm-hmm. Wow, wouldn't that be cool if Android did that?
Jump into the weather.
Just with, jump with into cardboard? Like any card. Like you could jump into a card with cardboard.
It could be really boring on certain cards, but yes,
like the traffic update, the one that tells me how long that I need to leave now to get to my meeting. That's you know, I want to jump into that. So.
Cool stuff, though. Are you a Spotify user?
I am a Spotify user.
Oh wow!
And
weird.
Actually, I heard about this news the other day, and I have no idea how to use it yet. So maybe y'all can enlighten me.
Yeah.
But basically, Spotify has decided to get into video as well. It started rolling out its video product to its apps, starting with Android this week and iOS users at the end of the week. Clips and content from big names like ESPN, Comedy Central, and the wonderful BBC, as well as, yes, Twit, that's us, will be found within the app as soon as it hits your device.
Nice. So yesterday there was a report that it was going to happen. Verge says today it's pushing out to apps and devices. So I've been using Spotify for a couple of months now. I'm not on it right now. I wanted to like use it to just kind of get a sense for it and everything. I really like Spotify.
Spotify is great.
It made me wonder.
But it's not good at some things.
Yeah.
So like when it comes to music discovery, I have a very hard time with Spotify because I feel like some of their curated playlists aren't things that I'm particularly interested in.
Okay.
But at the same time, I get to make playlists and I get to make playlists with my friends and mm-hmm. my friends That's can make me playlists. Part. And yeah. just that whole like sharing collaborative part of, you know, it's the equivalent of like bringing your tape or CD over to a friend's sure. house and like popping it into their stereo. So.
Now you can share playlists on Play Music. There is a way
not a lot of my friends use it.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like with Spotify, there's a lot of people using it, number one. And number two, there's kind of like the network aspect of kind of creating and sharing that. In Play Music, you have to have a lot more intention. Like, I created this, and then I exported the link, and then I sent the link to somebody.
Yeah, and plus I'm locked out of Play Music, so I actually can't use it on anything because I have way too many accounts.
Contact them.
Oh, no.
You mean device?
Device.
Limit?
Yes, I do need them. To contact. It's just another thing to add to my list.
Patrick DeLahanty here at Twit says All About Android episodes since around June 2015 are in Spotify video
That's awesome.
At this very moment. So if you want to, you know, turn back time, find a way to install Spotify and.
But I will not.
I don't know
take,
any more share lyrics.
I will
so
not take a, back all the things that I heard. Ron with that I say.
I like how you said Spotify is good at some things and bad at other things. They're not very good at paying artists.
Oh, so, that's right.
There is that part. Way to rain on our parade. By the way, those fiery things in the sky, those were
paper lanterns.
Paper lanterns.
Yeah, but frogs scared of fire? Paper lanterns? I don't know.
I
don't know what frogs.
I've never
like.
Interviewed a frog, so I don't know.
Ribbit.
Next time I do, I will ask them that question.
Next time we come across the frogs.
Hey, we've wondered for months who bought Chris Lacey's Link Bubble app. I know you have. You've lost sleep over it. Well, he was on last month. He wasn't prepared to reveal who the buyer was. Now we know. Last week, former Mozilla CEO Brendan Eich and his company Brave Software officially launched the new Brave browser. It's currently on an invite-only kind of beta release. The creators of Brave were fans of Link Bubble, and buying the app gave them kind of a head start on Android development for the new browser. So, but this isn't a browser that's just Android. Like they've got, you know, it's fully cross-platform and totally open source and all that kind of stuff. And its focus, it's interesting because when I think of Link Bubble, I don't think of ads and trackers and replacing them, but that's what Brave does. Brave is all about kind of speeding up the experience of browsing by eliminating ads and trackers. So it's basically like an ad blocker browser. But then what they'll end up doing is replacing those ads with their own ad inventory. But their own ad inventory is vetted by them to not slow down the experience. And they share those proceeds with the publishers that they're blocking for. So, once those publishers are cool with it.
And Mozilla bought this. It's very confusing. And so Mozilla bought this.
No, so this is not Mozilla. This is the former Mozilla CEO. This is his new company.
So he's the former CEO, and I'm sure this has everything to do with the new Firefox that
It doesn't. It's running on Chrome underneath. It's not Firefox.
But I'm thinking if him leaving Mozilla, like, this is his way of being like, haha, fools.
I got my own thing. I'm going to make money by replacing their ads with my ads.
Who does that to a nonprofit like Mozilla? Like, listen, Mozilla, I'm going to stick it to you. You know, like, Mozilla is all about like purity of the web and giving back to the community. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to screw you.
I mean, you know, add some drama to the news, Ron.
It's fun to dream.
Add some drama, you know, like
if
there was a reality show about Android apps, it would be people being like, how can I bring down my former employer?
Mm-hmm. Right, but your reality show is like the equivalent of like the Downton Abbey people trying to screw PBS. You know, it's like.
Downton Abbey people tried to screw PBS.
Don't worry, that didn't happen.
And we didn't mention the Kardashians again, so we dodged that bullet.
Oh, it's okay, I'm over them.
Oh, I just said it.
Anyway. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't
mean cool that we finally
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Josh, for steering us back on track.
Well, did you mention that the link bubble is open sourced on GitHub?
No.
That's breaking news. That's
exciting.
Sure, that works. That works for breaking news, actually, kind of. Well, I mean, it broke at the same time.
I have to know, did Chris get a major payday from this?
Well, you have to imagine he probably did. I mean, it was kind of his big project. I won't say bae, but it was, okay, sorry.
That was you. Wasn't even.
I thought maybe you were going to go there.
No, I was trying to think of the Jewish word for baby, and then Bubba came out, so I don't know.
I have to think that he probably did, but I mean, I don't know for sure.
Chris Lacey.
He sold it.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine he probably wouldn't have sold his main project unless he was making some money off of it. So congratulations, whatever the case.
Yeah, awesome.
Now he doesn't have to hold on to the secret anymore, and he can talk about it maybe. I don't know. There you go. Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
Email.
We got an email. It's always good to get an email. Jeremiah writes in and says, I read a lot on my Android devices, and I use various bookstores, Nook, Kindle, Playbooks, and a few non-specific readers like Aldico. I try a lot of them, and I have my preferences. I'm also a comic nerd. I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Again, there are some store-specific options, Comixology or Marvel Unlimited, for example. Where I have a question is in the non-store-tied comics. There is a Humble Bundle. There's often many Humble Bundles, and a number of other legal sources of comics are out there without DRM. So here's my question. What are the good apps for reading comics? And that's a very good question. Reading comics on Android is there's a couple. I've looked at all the apps. I've tried them all. I will give iOS credit in that iOS has some better options for a, you know, kind of free for all reading all different kind of formats, non-DRM comic apps. That said, the one that I use, and Josh, I'm going to put the link in the chat room so you can see it. The one I use is called Challenger Comics Viewer. It's not pretty, but it's functional. It has hooks in so you can open sources in the cloud from anywhere. So if you've got, like, I store my digital comics that are in PDF format or CBR, CBZ, I put them up on Dropbox, and I'm able to open them up via the web. There's also integration of the OneDrive and Google Drive, all the various kind of other options where you can – even FTP and SFTP, which is pretty interesting. So that's a pretty good one. Another good one is called Comic Rack. That's all right. As well as Comic Cat is one that's a little fancier, a little, like, nicer UI. But Challenger gets the jobs done, and that's the one that I use. So Challenger Comics Viewer is my recommendation. So good luck with that. There you go. Comics, yay.
Good luck with that. Are you over comics? Are we watching just, you kind of be like, eh, man, comics?
It's just, it's rough. It's a comics, is it's a rough space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all.
All right.
You think Android is rough, Flo? Comics.
I didn't
mean... Android is easy compared to... It's
or
just,
mobile phones.
What's
sorry.
New?
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty and shiny.
I'm sorry that I seem to have opened a wound with you, Ron, and I apologize.
No, not at all. No, not at all. No, it's just, it's digital. Digital comics is a... It's a polarizing topic in the world mm-hmm. of comic books. There's a huge opportunity, and I don't love the direction it went in. I'm very proud of what I did for the comic book industry. In fact, I'm the one who brought Humble Bundle to comics. The first Humble Bundle was an Image Comics bundle that I negotiated and did, and my early conversations with Humble Bundle opened the door for other companies to do it. I'm glad that they're doing that, because I think, you know, raising money for charity is great, and also DRM free is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I buy those
Humble Bundles a lot, by the way.
I always get it wrong. I can hardly ever say it. I feel like I have marbles in my mouth when I say Humble Burger. Okay, well, there you go. I thought that might be right down your alley, Ron, because I had no idea.
Ron is the perfect person for this question.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. And the thing is that, like, Challenger might not be the best one out there. Like, there might be newer ones that are out there, ones that are slightly better. If you know of a better one, or ones that you like more, shoot us an email, let me know, because I would love to check it out. But right now, it's like the kind of thing where, like, it's not fancy, it doesn't have a great UI, it's not slick, but it gets the job done every time. So I'm not, you know, so that's that, it gets my vote. So
I know that development of apps is a very, I don't know what the right word is for it, but it's a very complicated thing to come up with an app that strikes all notes. But I feel like there are so many categories of apps in the Play Store where if there was one single app that did it well on design, did it well on functionality, like you're talking about this app and saying, yeah, it's pretty good. It's not designed very well, but it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like that is such an open door for someone to take a look at the landscape and be like, these are the things that make these all great, combine into one. But that's oversimplification, right? That's probably sounds easier than it actually is.
Because the challenge is that it's incredibly difficult, at least in the comic space, to make, like, one big problem with comic books is that there's just no money in that industry at all. There's no money. There's no money as a creator. There's no money as a publisher. There's no money as a app to read digital comics. You know, yes, there's money if you're Marvel or Warner Brothers or The Walking Dead, but beyond that, it's rough. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And to put in the amount of development and the amount of work it would take to do it really right, you won't get the return. You know, and also the problem is that there's so much. You know, unfortunately, Comixology, which emerged as the early leader in it, launched with DRM and then got purchased by Amazon and became as close to the de facto standard as there is.
Yeah.
And so now we're stuck in a world where there's crappy DRM, you know, and it's like Comix had the opportunity to not make the mistakes music did and made all new different mistakes. That's why it bums me out.
Yeah.
Ron, when I get the Humble Bundles, usually I just sync the PDF to my Dropbox and honestly just how I read it on my Android device.
Like Adobe Reader or whatever.
Yeah, or just like whatever. I mean, depends on the device.
Whatever the PDF
reader is that I have on the
whatever
specific
it's automatically
device.
Synced to
usually
it
like
in.
Dropbox is a built-in PDF viewer, and so honestly mm-hmm. sometimes I'll just use that and I'll just like zoom in and out as I need to read things.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That doesn't
it's not
sound,
the best, yeah, but it's so good for travel because I only have to bring my tablet.
Right, right. Okay, cool. Well, I hope that is helpful to Jeremiah. Thanks for emailing aaa@twit.tv. Love getting your emails and your voicemails. We had a voicemail earlier today, and that's awesome. Keep sending them. Okay.
Love you.
It is time to battle in the arena. So many enter, but only one lives. Arena. If you heard two crackles, those were my knuckles.
And I'm trying to be like, here we go.
All right, so last week, Ron, you were not here.
I was not here. I wasn't there to celebrate.
Yeah, you weren't here. Yes, exactly. Success. Yeah. Bravo, although we're kind of over it at this point. But, you know,
I understand.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Last week, let's see here. Wow, it's a tie. How is it a tie? There must be an actual count. So it looks like language learning, Busu, and I in Sky Weather are tied at 38% each. There should be a way to turn this around.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. So language learning has 154 votes. I in the Sky Weather has 155.
Wow. Making
I in the Sky Weather the winner by inches.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there
I'm
we go.
I'm done. I'm over. It's finished.
That has happened
Don't
before.
Give up. Don't give
Why
up.
It's January. Am I here?
It's January.
It's the end of January.
It's so early.
It sucks to win by one. It sucks
it's
to so win
early.
By
really,
one. Or lose by
yeah.
one. Quote. Yeah, I understand. That would be a win for the guest because Andrew Cunningham of Ars Technica was the one that brought that up.
So what is the Wade County in the chat room? What is the year to date standings as they exist? I believe I'm in easy first place, aren't I?
I can't remember. I can't
Jeez,
even remember yesterday.
Mr. Gloater.
My revenge. 2016 is my revenge year.
Rondo 2, guests 1.
Rondo 2, guests 1. Jason 0, Flo 0. You guys will get there. Don't worry. I believe in you.
Thanks.
Why are you so hurtful?
Because you said Kardashians 4 times tonight.
3 times. The fourth was
I'm telling you. I remember hearing Ron talk like this at the beginning months yes. of last year because he was on a roll. And he was like, well, this is obviously Ron. And then we know how that ended.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, don't let it get to you. Don't
yeah, no, no, no. I got my lab at home. Oh, I got my lab. My app lab.
Oh, I was the big loser with 24% on human activity tracker. I suppose I kind of understand.
Do I go first because I missed or do you go first because you lost?
I think I go first because I lost.
Okay.
And then you go second and then Flo is okay. the winning loser. Right. And so
first the worst, second the best, right? That's how they say it. So technically I am the winner.
Yes, exactly. There we go. That works for me.
Playground rules are in effect.
All right. My app is pretty easy to explain. And it was one of those that I was like, this has to have been covered because I've used this for so long and it's so helpful. And it turns out I searched the wiki, both pages, and I know that it hasn't been done the last couple of weeks or, you know, a couple of years ago. So I'm pretty confident that it hasn't. And I'm still kind of nervous for bringing it in. It's called Songkick Concerts. Ron,
you
I'm sure.
You just found out about this?
What?
Oh, man, this app is great.
No, I didn't just find out about it. That's what I mean. I've been using this for years, so I'm really surprised that it never made it into the arena.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh. I love it. It's a fantastic
app. I got excited because of how great it is. I'm endorsing you now.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I've got the backing of Flo. Ron, I have a feeling you use this.
I have used it. I'm surprised ahead, I didn't bring it to the arena, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so, I was surprised that it hadn't been. I did searches on both pages.
So I want to see who are your picks. Let's see who are your song kicks.
Okay, so basically, what is song kick? So that's where we should start. Basically, song kick is a way to analyze the music that you follow, and then it will essentially monitor for artists that are touring in your area, wherever you happen to be. So concerts, let's see, Vetiver, Dr. Dog, Metallica, Black Sabbath, Built to Spill, Super Suckers, Film School. Here's a history of like the wide range. Megadeth, Slayer, They Might Be Giants.
Because it goes back
churches,
into your archives so M83. Far behind.
Yes, it really does cover the gamut. The Cure, Rodrigo y Gabriela, Tame Impala. They're like my new hotness.
Were they playing Greek Theater?
Awesome.
You should go to
Greek
that.
Greek Theater is so great to see shows.
I know,
at.
It's the best.
It's my favorite.
It absolutely the best.
So anyway, so it monitors this for you so you don't miss a concert by somebody that you really want to see live. You can make plans, although I haven't done that. Here's all the artists that I have synced in, and I mean, I have a lot. And I just like the UI. I think I found out about the My Bloody Valentine concert from a couple of years ago, which was awesome, by the way, through Songkick at that point. This is like my most recent notifications, which was Tame Impala. I found out about that. And you get an idea also of in this locations tab, kind of like monitoring the places around you that facilitate shows. So you can see on a day-to-day basis what's playing around you. So it's not tied into just the music that you're following. Instead, you can be like, well, I want to go out, you know, Friday. What kind of shows are playing on Friday? Oh, Denny Bertheum.
Wait, where is that? I can't read it on the
Redwood City.
Oh.
Angelica's. That matters to one person that's listening. Anyways, so I don't know. I appreciate this because it makes sure that, it aims to make sure that you don't miss those shows that you want to see. And it's free.
I like your app because when I say I'm going to a concert, it posts it to Facebook. And then other people are like, OMG, you're going to that? I want to go with you. And then all of a sudden you have a bunch of friends who are going to a concert. And it's like everybody's getting babysitters, you know. People are drinking. Like,
yeah,
it's great.
So excellent.
I'm endorsing your app.
Fantastic. We'll see how this goes. I'm feeling good about this week. There you go. It's called Songkick. Nexus Nick in the chat is saying, I could have sworn we've seen this app before on AAA. It's very possible that we showed it off on the show, but it didn't make it into the arena.
I did a search and I don't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, I know it's definitely one that I have used before and that I like, but I don't think I put it in the arena. I think you're clear. So, it's interesting. I don't use Songkick. I actually use Bands in Town, which is another app.
Oh, yeah.
That does a very similar thing. But but I have played with Songkick and it's pretty cool.
There are multiple. They have an open API. Creating an arena episode.
So Songkick has an open API. I know Bands in Town because my fiance made an app for Windows Phone that integrated all these APIs, so you could track concerts.
Yeah,
like back in the day.
Okay, awesome.
There used to be a great site that I depended on. I can't remember the name of it. It was like one of those .fm sites. I forget what it was. And it basically did this. It was a web
app. Last FM?
It wasn't Last FM. I can't remember what it was.
I know they show concerts too.
Yeah.
The music is so great.
No, I know they do. But there was one, and they were a Bay Area startup, and I they would send me an email when the concerts were announced and stuff like that, and then they stopped doing it, and it killed me. And that's the hardest thing. Like, there's nothing worse than, like, looking online and seeing people posting pictures from a show the night before of one of your favorite bands you just didn't know they played. It's like, it's the worst feeling in the world. So
absolutely agree.
Yeah, that's a good app, Jason. Good call.
Cool. So Songkick concerts.
I want to interrupt just because I know of one that's really cool. Setlist.fm is a good one.
Setlist.fm.
It's different though. It's for after you go to a show. If you want to see what the band played,
you can find
a list.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, set list is awesome. I've actually kept track of Morrissey set lists during Morrissey concerts on Setlist FM. That's another great site to go be like, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw this band back in 07. I don't remember when. And you get in, like, I found shows that I know I was at. And, you know, and the listings are.
Oh, yeah. They show you the ticket too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, people take pictures of their vintage tickets and show, like, what the tickets look like.
It's the kind of idea I wish I had before. So,
man.
Yeah.
Life is full of ideas you wish you would have had.
Life is full of ideas and people having them.
I know.
You know? Yeah. Blew your mind. Oof. Okay. Yep. Let's see here. Ron, you are up next.
Okay, so my app is a really neat one that I just discovered, which is called ScreenMeet. And you know how there are those applications for desktops that allow you, when you're doing a meeting, to share your desktop and show people what you're looking at so you can give a presentation or things like that. But more and more as we go on the go, as we're, you know, using our phones and things like that, we might want to share our screens on our phones. And so ScreenMeet actually lets you do that. So actually, Josh, if you can go back to my camera. All right. This is going to be an interactive demo because it's going to be neat. So I'm going to launch the app. And what happens is you have to set up an account. You can sign in with your Google account or you can sign up with an email. It's real simple. The only thing is your name and a password. And then once you get that, I'm going to do this awful thing where I'm going to hold the phone up to the camera. But we're going to bear with it because, Josh, in the doc, there's a link. And so what I've got is I've got this simple screen and you can see that it just shows. This is my ScreenMeet. It gives me a share link to share. It happens to be screenmeet.com/AAA. And then down here, there's a start button. So I am going to press the start button. And now I am sharing my device's screen. And so, Josh, if you go to screenmeet.com/AAA, and in fact, the chat room, I invite you all to do that. It's open. There's no password. screenmeet.com/AAA. You then see the people who log in or viewing your screen. So, Josh, if you take that browser window, right? Let's show everybody what it shows. All right, there's my screen. So now what I can do is I can choose an app to share. Okay, and look, there is my desktop.
What?
Right?
Okay, what do you want to show me?
Yeah,
show me something.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to show you, in fact.
Would this have been super meta if he did this and then showed us his app pick?
I just realized this is very this is very intruding here.
Hey, we could use this for future app arenas too.
Yeah, no, when we're doing remote, like when we're Skyping in from somewhere, this is a great way to demo our app now. But yeah, so I just opened the Eat24 app and there it is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Is that your shows my address. So there you go. Let's blur that out.
I dang go it. To my
party at Ron's house.
So dang it. That's awesome, dude. That's really cool. And so I do notice that the frame rate is a little slower.
So I'm on Wi-Fi so I mean it's going to deal with that. Like I wouldn't show video or anything like that.
Right.
But
still to kind of
there's
like
a Chromecast symbol
things.
In the notification drawer.
Oh yeah, there is. I wonder why.
I wonder if it's doing that because it's like technically casting to the internet.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. So. Here's the Disney World app.
Yeah, I actually was kind of hoping you just opened this app because this makes me happy.
So,
much safer app choice to show off Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
Country Bear Jamboree.
But yeah, so I can also even just go open up the Screen Meet app. So I can show you how the app works. So here I see everybody that's in the room.
Jason, right? The awesomeness. So, okay, good.
Of course, JJ's in there, right? and so what I can do is I can go into the settings and I can change the address of the. So if I want to change the name of my room, I can. I can turn on or off whether I want to ask for people's name when they join. I can adust the performance.
Yeah, switch that all the way to speed. I want to see if that improves the frame rate.
Oh, right. God. Careful. He's on a Nexus 5.
Okay. You can also set a password to the room, by the way, which is important, I think.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
The bitrate is going down on the interface. Like, it looks all jaggedy and, like, blurry like a JPEG.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does. Yeah.
So. Yeah, the resolution on his background has gone down.
Look at that, yeah.
So. Ooh, it's kind of gross. But it's kind of nice in a pinch.
Yeah. So if you're on the road and you need to show somebody some designs or some JPEGs or some, you know, or just to go do a quick presentation, or if you want to, like, you have, let's say your parents can't figure something out and you go, okay, just look what I'm doing on my phone. This is a good tool to do that. Yeah. So, by the way,
somebody mentioned in the chat that there was a Screen Meet. The Screen Meet is full. So I'm wondering if, I guess you might have a limit.
Oh, was there a limit? Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, it does. I don't see anything on the settings for a limited number of people.
Let's see here. Free for up to 5 viewers.
There it is. So there
it
is.
Oh, okay. So if you want to do something enterprisey, obviously you're going to have to buy a license or whatevs.
Which is fair.
Very fair.
So anyway, so share your screen with up to 5 viewers for free. Show them your home address. It's great.
We'll blur that out.
That actually wasn't my home address. It was nearby. It was the Google services, finding. Exactly. Anyway, so Screen Meet, totally free to download the Google Play Store. Check it out. Good times. So
that is really cool. I like it a lot. We're gonna have to use that when you Skype in from home.
I'm gonna keep it on my phone, and that's a great way to do demos.
Now we have
remote.
No excuse.
No.
Jason's gonna be like, y'all gotta do your own app arena. Stop asking me to install stuff.
Very cool. Screen Meet, one word. Although I think on the apps page it's called Show Your Screen Live, but it's by Screen Meet. I think if you do a search for Screen Meet, you'll find it. So
No,
I think it works. Excellent. All right, Florence.
I don't really want to go because I feel like
own it. No, stop.
I'm owning it. I'm owning it. So here's what's up, okay?
Yeah.
My router at home sucks.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. So we've gone through like 3 different routers, different brands, and there's this thing that happens in the room that I work in downstairs where the Wi-Fi goes out and then it comes back on. Like, and it's maddening working from home sometimes because of this.
Oh,
so we're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. We noticed that we have a cluster of Wi-Fi networks in our neighborhood that have just been like, I think there's a little I don't know. I'm not a network specialist. But
you aspire to be.
I do not aspire to be. However, I'm not a network specialist, but this app, Wi-Fi Analyzer, is really helpful with figuring out these kind of situations that you have going on at home. So right over here, you will see. This is the cluster of like Wi-Fi networks that are around us right now. Like these are all the different Wi-Fi networks, and you can look at them individually up here. And oh, what is this FBI surveillance van? Oh, I wonder who that is. Right?
Yeah. Just an FBI surveillance van.
Right. Nobody so can. it's a pretty straightforward app. This is the way that we use it, which is just to see like, and. You know what's interesting is when we were using this last night and the Wi-Fi, we watched as the Wi-Fi went down on this graph and we were seeing like everybody else's Wi-Fi boost up. So that's why we're thinking like maybe it's a weird interference thing. But regardless, it's just a very simple, easy tool you put on your phone if you're having problems with your Wi-Fi network or if you're just like at a coffee shop somewhere and you're wondering what the free Wi-Fi networks are. There's also a couple of options on here. It lets you choose your graphs. You want to do it by channel. You want to do it by time. You want to do it by rating. Signal meter so that you can test the individual Wi-Fi network that you're on. This one is not working because I'm not on Wi-Fi here.
Oh, all right. That explains it.
Land neighbors, OUI lookup. I don't have a lot of stuff connected. This is kind of a bummer. It's just take a snapshot. You know, take screenshots. So,
yeah.
Free app, ad based. It's very helpful to have on your phone.
Yeah,
if you're
absolutely.
Having issues.
And this actually here is it's essential in this studio because there's so much interference all around. We are surrounded by devices that interfere. Wi-Fi analyzer. I think this is FarProc. This is the right one, right?
Yep.
Okay, it's FarProc is the developer in case there's a couple of apps named Wi-Fi.
I tried to find something that was legitimate, quite honestly, and that would just help us gauge what was going on.
Sure.
We still haven't fixed our Wi-Fi problems, but...
Oh, no, guys.
Oh.
Uh-oh, guys. I got bad news. I got real bad news. So they broke the All About Android Wiki apps list up into two pages because they're so big. And the main list is episodes current to 151. And then there's a subpage for episodes 1 through 150.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, on episode 87, Wi-Fi Analyzer was in the arena and it won.
Okay.
And also on episode 64, Song Kick Concerts was there and it did not win.
Wait a minute. No, I did a search on that page.
No, there's two pages now, Jason.
No, I did a search on both. So apparently it did work. Ah, Jesus.
Here, go look. Yeah, look, I got it right. Oh, man.
Again?
Okay. All right.
Again.
Apparently we can't come up with new apps to show off on this show.
What is wrong with us?
Oh, okay. Man.
However. That was a really, really long time ago.
That was so long. Wasn't that pre-Ron?
No, there was never pre-Ron.
Oh.
I was never pre-Ron. I'm an original.
Ron's
an
original.
Sorry, Ron. I didn't know. I don't know the whole history. You guys never told me the history when I started here.
I like what no one says in the chat room. He says, oh, come on. Who cares? It's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. It's double-digit episodes, had to have been. Episode 64 was... Oh man, what was that? What year was that? 2007? I don't even know.
OMG, my friends. OMG.
The splitting off of that page is getting a little.
That threw us off. Yeah, now because now there are two pages that you need to go look.
Oh, this is a show that Ron hosted.
So,
oh wow, it is.
Wait a minute. So scroll down. Scroll down.
Cute young Ron.
So this was the
June 18th, 2012.
So this episode 64 was what? Wi-Fi Analyzer or Song Kick?
Oh, it was Song Kick.
Dude, it was an episode I wasn't on.
I totally was again.
This keeps happening. I'm like, well, I don't remember. Yeah, there you go.
And so look up episode 87. Oh, wait, I got it here. So episode 87 was... Father Robert was our guest.
Yeah.
And it looks like his pick was Wi-Fi Analyzer.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. He brings on the network stuff. Yeah, that was 2012. Yeah. So, you know, our rule, and people are in the chat room are kind of pointing it out, is that if it's older than a certain, you know, distance, that it's fair game. Yeah. I'm sure it's... both of these have been updated at least a little bit.
I mean,
since
I command, I command F and everything.
Yeah.
However, I will, I will say, Ron, yeah. I really do like your app.
Yeah,
it's a good app.
I agree.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's good. I would just like to say I have yet to make this mistake ever.
This is like really hard.
Yeah,
and he doesn't help that he freaking gloats about it over there.
I'm
while
not,
he's
no,
on Skype.
I'm not
you can't even
about
gloat
this.
Here in person, Ron. You have to do it over Skype.
I'm not gloating about this. I'm gloating about my two wins, but yeah. This I find unfortunate, and I didn't even realize there were two pages in the app page until I just checked. Because I saw people, I saw Bleak in the chat room saying that he's sure that Wi-Fi Analyzer has been on the show before. And I was like, yeah, wow. I kind of remember that. And that's why I was like, Song Kick Concerts, I'm pretty sure I'd be
I
all
know.
Over.
Well, I know. Well, that's why I've... See, and I checked, dude. Whatever.
Next week, let's just all do Google Apps.
That would be a first for Arenas. Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer. Maybe we should, maybe we should just check both pages. It's just easier to go to one page and do a find versus going to two.
Oh, you
but I guess we got to do what we got to do. Although I did that. And I don't know why it didn't appear. I did a find for song.
Right.
And that, all right, I'm going to just start going through all those apps that people have been emailing me about and...
Yeah, that's a good idea,
I'm giving up.
New apps.
Finding something on my own.
And that actually reminds me that I don't know what's going on with the wiki because I don't know how these things work.
It's a little outdated, isn't it?
It is a little outdated. Yeah. So if somebody in the audience wants to step up and get us up to date, the last episode in there is 243. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. 243. Okay. So
that was last year.
Yeah. Oof. Put it like that, and
when Brady was on the show with Echo with Alexa,
right. All right, so we'll see what happens this week in the arena. We understand wherever it goes, but you can vote AAApoll.com/250. We're gonna try and get this under wraps here and figure out what we can do to make sure we don't keep choosing things that have already been chosen before. But whatever. It was a long time ago.
You know why? Because I choose my apps to try and, beat Ron.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, please the crowd by, choosing these, like Wi-Fi Analyzer.
Choose
and,
your heart.
But my heart is, my heart is...
on fire.
Flo, you can't try to appease the whims of the audience. You can't try to... pick it strategically. You got to go with the app that's in your heart.
Yep.
And sometimes that app.
Yeah, you can. This is true. Yeah.
Sometimes that app is a winner. Sometimes that app is like Cromer, and it's the kind of thing that you can't believe. You don't know how you lived without. And sometimes that app is some dinky Japanese cat app where you feed cats to make points or something.
Hey.
And you take the wins and losses as they come. That's the only way to do it. You put out into the world what you get back. You get back into the world what you put out.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah, exactly.
As they say.
Yeah, and I sow adorable kitties. So what's your problem?
All right, fine. Let's see where this is. We're going in circles at this point. Woof. All right, that's it. I think we're done. I think
all right.
With that explosive ending, we are finished with this episode. Florence, what do you have going on?
The phone that we showed you, the new phone, where is it? As I'm down over here. The new phone, what is this, the X4? We're going to try and do a little review of that on greenbot.com.
Excellent.
Check out what you guys think about this. 100.
There is no try, only do.
There's only do. We're going to do, it might not be me writing it, though, just... caution you on that. But if you do want to follow me, I will just be reviewing stuff at greenbot.com, pcworld.com, and you can follow me in all of my rants on Twitter at @OhThatFlow.
Oh, that flow. Oh, I know that flow. She's sitting right next to me. What about you, Ron?
So you can follow me. Go to about.me/RonXO where you can find all the links to my Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And by day, I'm working over a drop at getdrop.com and doing a daily podcast called goodfellowsminute.com. But I actually want to take a moment. We were talking about comic books earlier and recommending digital comic readers. I want to highlight my other podcast that I've been doing for over 10 years now called iFanboy. It's at ifanboy.com. If Josh wanted to scramble and put it up on the screen, that'd be lovely. But it's actually funny that we're podcasting today because today iFanboy crossed the 10 million download mark on our podcast.
Wow, dude.
We've been downloaded over 10 million times.
Wow. So that's impressive.
That's really awesome.
It's kind of like I never really thought about it until you see those numbers and you realize it. So if anyone wants to know how long it takes to get 10 million downloads, it's 10 years, 3 months.
So like a million a year, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. Not bad for three Jamokes who went to college together and just do a weekly podcast. Like we've got 519 episodes. Like it's just we've just been plugging along every week for 10 years, and that's awesome. What happened. So yeah.
Congratulations.
So check it out, ifanboy.com.
Awesome. Mr. The Mac and Josh.
Yes.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, when you put it that way, okay, I've been waiting for this moment on the show because I want to say, because Flo, I felt like, you know, she was really irritated about my experience with the Nexus 6P. I want to say the fact that I had to get so granular with what I was complaining about on the 6P speaks volumes because it was a great phone. And actually just putting a case on it would have solved that problem. So it was, I had a good time with the Nexus 6P. I'm saying it was a good, you know, it was a good, I had a good time with the Nexus, please just...
Is this all about Mac and Josh? What's going on here? Did he just hijack the show?
Josh worries about these.
Don't worry
kinds
about
of things.
It, Josh. I'm just picking on you.
But I realized when I said like the last thing I said was like the power button is doesn't very good, and you know it was a good phone.
And you know what? Flo has been thinking about that comment the entire show.
I knew it.
I can't even concentrate on the show anymore. Josh said that thing about the power button.
Anyway. So that's that. And maybe, you know, maybe after when I come time to actually upgrade my phone, I'll think about Android again. Yeah,
think about it. We'll consider see. It.
Yeah.
Consider it.
We'll be here for you when you're ready to cross over.
With open arms.
And by the way.
Arms wide open.
And by the way, my name on social media still would make sense because I still use a Mac.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
And you eat Macintosh apples.
Not really.
And your name is Josh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll check back with you next time you're filling in for Brian.
Because who knows? Maybe by then I'll have Android again. I just keep flip-flopping.
Oh, I'm pretty sure about that. You'll keep flip-flopping. That's part of your nature. I mean with the phones. Oh, that
today,
came out wrong.
Man.
That came out wrong. I'm sorry. You're awesome. Thank you for filling in for Brian this week. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem. It's always fun.
You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music if I do anything. I am actually working on stuff. Yellowgoldmusic.com. Maybe someday I'll have something to announce. Sign up for the Twit newsletter. You want to get weekly emails with like all the guests that we're having on our shows so you know ahead of time which shows you do not want to miss. twit.tv/newsletter, and we'll keep you informed.
I subscribe
on all
to
that
it.
Kind of stuff. Awesome.
By the way.
Excellent.
And it is a great newsletter. It's very informative.
You know, we've come a long way with our newsletters.
You should subscribe to it. Yeah. Everyone should subscribe to it.
There we go. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. And you can get on the show with your voice. Emails at AAA@twit.tv. We are on Twitter at Android Show. We are on Reddit. We have subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. That's the most important place because that's our home on the web. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting-ish right around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. But that is it for this week. We will see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.